Hello, everyone. Hi there. I'm just moving these back temporarily. I am so glad to be back in the great state of Texas. I'm Ruth Sherman. I'm your thought leader for today. I am from the great but teeny tiny state of Connecticut. I seriously looked it up, and Texas is this, and Connecticut is this. It's like the Earth against the sun. And the Astros. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, wow. You know, what great timing, too. Great timing. Okay, so the first thing I want to do is give you the lay of the land here today. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what I think are some great things to do for your personal brand, to build it, to advance your career goals. Then I am going to invite my esteemed panel up to the platform, and they are going to engage along with me in a wide-ranging discussion. They all bring wonderful expertise to the platform in different areas, so you'll get to learn from a variety of different viewpoints. And then we're going to leave at least 10 minutes for questions. So as you have your questions, please, please, please jot them down. And there are two microphones in these two aisles that you can line up, and we will take as many as we can. Then after this, I and Shama, who is one of the panelists, will be whisked away to sign books for you, and we'll tell you about that in a little bit. So first, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I work with C-level executives, celebrities, and public figures who are looking to have a greater impact in their personal public communication. So things like if they have to do a speech, if they have to go on TV, particularly with the celebrities, they may have to go on Good Morning America or Colbert or Kimmel to promote a film or a TV show. I've worked on some great shows like Orange is the New Black and, Marvel's The Defenders. That was my first superhero series. And there's something that's out right now. It just was released by Netflix, actually. Let There Be Light. Let There Be Light. Just released by Netflix called One of Us. It's a documentary. It's wonderful. You should watch it. And so that's something that I do. I'm the author of the book Speakrets. The 30 best, most effective, most overlooked marketing and personal branding essentials. Again, I'll be signing that later, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it. And then I'm an expert in political communication. So I do a lot of things, and I have really a lot of fun during presidential campaigns criticizing both candidates. So I don't take sides. I just like to critique their communication. My assessment is that the better communicator always wins, and that is true for you too. My former life, my first career. I've been around the block more than a few times, as you can probably tell. My first career was as a jingle singer. I was a jingle singer. I sang the famous Coca-Cola jingle way back when, but not the first time. That was the brink. They brought it back for New Coke, which failed. You know, so I made some money for about 6 months, and then they pulled it. Anyway, let's get serious and talk about personal branding. My overarching message for today is that markets and companies and bosses and coworkers and customers and clients and all the other stakeholders in your world of work, they become more confident with coworkers like yourselves and or personnel who are clear in their communications, who come across very confidently. So I want to share with you some of my secrets, actually three of them from my book, that will give you a brief overview of what I think some of the greatest marketing and personal branding tools are. So the first one is to learn to project confidence, even if you don't feel it. Even if you don't feel it inside, okay? So this is hard for us. It's hard for us women. We tend to feel like we have to behave in a certain way. But the truth is that we have to learn to walk into a room like we own the place. Now, I am shy and introverted. How many of you can tell that? Okay, see, so I'm a schooled extrovert. All of this stuff is learnable. Projecting confidence is all done nonverbally by the way you look, the way you sound, the way you move, and the way you travel. Traveling has to do with how you walk into a room or you walk on a stage. And we know that when somebody walks into a room, you either want to meet them or you don't, right? You don't. So you've got to be able to master the skills of nonverbal communication, especially the speaking voice. If you think about speaking voices, there are no women in leadership who don't sound good. None. They don't sound like this, with this like nasal voice that everything sounds like a question, right? Right? And they don't sound like this. They don't sound like the corporate monotone, which, you know, prevents you from expressing your passion in any way. I really have a hard time with that one, okay? So project confidence even if you don't feel it. Second thing is find some humor in your everyday life and make sure you spread it around. Spread it around. There's nobody who doesn't like being around someone who's funny, someone who makes them laugh. All of my clients come to me and they say, "Ah, Ruth, I am just not funny." They are all wrong about that. Every single one of them. They're all funny. I have a client, senior partner in a law firm, and she had to go say thank you. She had to give a thank you speech. She was being given an award from a philanthropy she'd been donating to. It was their big gala. So she came to me and she said the usual things. "I don't have any stories. I'm not funny." It's like, all right, let's sit down and talk about this a little bit and find where you're funny. So it turned out there was somebody else being honored that evening who was an executive at Victoria's Secret. And yeah, wait, you ain't heard nothing yet. And this client had a Victoria's Secret story. And I also, and I'm gonna grab that and just share it with you in a minute. But this client, so interestingly, let's see, do I have that? Yes, I have it right here, good. This client, think about it, she walks into a room, a philanthropy event. Who's in the room? She's a trust and estates lawyer, but wealthy donors, right? All people who are potential clients of hers. All right, so she goes up to the platform, and instead of saying, "Thank you, I'm honored, welcome," you know, all the boring, boring boilerplate stuff, she walks up and she says this: "I was so glad to see that Cynthia was being honored today because I have owed her company a great big thank you for over 20 years. Basically, my wonderful husband planned a magnificent honeymoon for us at a beautiful two-story former sugar plantation in Barbados. We checked into the upper floor in the morning, and who should check into the lower floor that afternoon, just below our balcony? A bevy of Victoria's Secret supermodels there to shoot their lingerie catalog." They were there for the entire week of our honeymoon. So thank you, Cynthia, for providing us with such interesting scenery during that romantic week. But most of all, for all the laughs, I've gotten telling that story for the past 20 years. So, you know, everybody's funny. She was the only one who did something like that. She was the only one. All right, my final secret is get good at speaking. Get good at speaking. And this goes for everybody at every level. Get good at this, get excellent at it. But in particular, I want to focus on video. I want to focus on video because many of you, if you're looking for a job, if you are looking to transition into another job, or you are coming back into the workplace after having been out for a while, you're going to have to do video interviews. It's been common for a while now, and it's just ramping up. It's becoming even more common. So with video, you've got to have a couple of things going on. First, your laptop needs to be positioned, the webcam needs to be positioned so that the lens is at eye level, that it's sitting straight and you're looking straight on into it. All right? And the second thing is that you got to look into the lens. That's where the people are. They're not on the screen. They're not. And you're very tempted, and I know I am, very tempted to look at my own face on that screen, and that's not where they are, right? So it's disconcerting and it takes a little doing, but you will get better at it. And man, let me tell you, it is painful as all get out to look at yourself on video. Painful, 100 times more painful than hearing your voice, right? 100 times more painful. So we want to make sure that you've got that right, because what they extrapolate from that is that you've got a level of technical savvy and you're just up on it. You're up on it. Okay, so I appreciate that many of you will take these skills and run with them, and you obviously agree that these are important skills to learn, that they're critical. And I also appreciate that many of you aren't in a position necessarily to work with me one-on-one or another coach like me, like senior executives. So if you want to continue the journey, then I am going to be in the bookstore signing books right after this, and this is a much deeper dive. So I will look forward to seeing you there, and I will certainly talk with you even if you don't want to buy a book. So I look forward to speaking with you there. And I also have a gift for you. So here's how you can get that, and you can get that right away, actually. So take out your phones, and I want you to text, right? Text the word, you're going to get this this ebook called How to Seduce Any Audience. Yeah? Okay, so it's an expansion of everything we've talked about today. And you text the word command, C-O-M-M-A-N-D, not case sensitive, to this code. It's easy to remember, 444-999, 444-999. And it'll prompt you for your best email address to send the book to and also your first name, and you'll get that in short order. All right, so text the word command, C-O-M-M-A-N-D, to 444-999. That's it. If you have any problems with it, just see me in the bookstore. And now I want to invite my esteemed panel up to the platform, up to the stage here. We have Shama Hyder, Lisa Skeet Tatum, and Alex Wolf. Come on up, ladies. Yeah. Okay. And I'm going to grab my notes. So the first, better not to fall off this stage. all right, so the first thing that I would love to have you all do is to briefly introduce yourselves. So Alex, let's start with you.
Hello, everyone. My name's Alex Wolf. I'm here from New York City. I started a brand on social media about 4 years ago that went viral called Boss Babe. And basically, it's a lifestyle brand for millennial women who are interested in entrepreneurship. And it's an empowerment platform. And as of 2 years ago, I've operationalized the brand. So I'm not running the day-to-day. I hired a CEO and a team to manage it. And I've been doing brand consulting for startups and other brands who are looking to rebrand for millennials specifically and engage with them online. And yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Lisa.
Hi. I'm thrilled to be here. I am founder and CEO of Landit. Our goal at Landit is to create a personalized playbook for every woman seeking to move her career forward. And recognizing that there are millions of us, myself included, who will find ourselves at an inflection point, whether we're in a company, just trying to figure out how to more successfully navigate, maybe we're feeling a little stuck and we don't know how to get out of it, or maybe we're looking for what's next. And realizing that it's not that we don't have the skill or the motivation or the track record, is we don't know where to start. And we don't know how to connect with the tools and the humans that we need. So that's what we do. We knit together those key elements for success so you have a one-size-fits-one solution so you can bust it out. So.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, y'all. My name's Shama. I'm a Texas girl, so good to be back home. I actually went to UT, so go Longhorns. Yeah, there's my people. So great to be here. So I'm a serial entrepreneur. I run the Marketing Zen Group, which I started right out of grad school at 23. So I've never held a job. I started my own company. I can talk a little bit more about that if you guys are curious. So Marketing Zen is web marketing, digital PR firm. Just launched a second company called Made, which is a design and build company. I've got two books, The Zen of Social Media Marketing and Momentum. They're both on digital marketing. So marketing sort of my bailiwick, and that's the stuff that I'm really passionate about, especially social media. In some ways, I'm an accidental entrepreneur. I did my thesis on Twitter when it had about 2,000 users. So very early days, in case you guys follow me on Twitter, it's at Shama. So people are always like, how'd you get your first name? Like, oh, just be the first 2,000 people on Twitter. So that was easy. I'm thrilled to be here to talk to you guys about personal branding. It's funny, I don't think that I ever got into it thinking that of it as a category or a niche, but I'm grateful for the platform I think that it gives. So really just happy to answer questions today and hopefully you guys will get value out of it.
Thank you, Shama, and Lisa and Alex, too. So before we move into the Q&A, show of hands, how many of you are entrepreneurs? All right, great. How many of you are in a job now, I would say, working for, let's say, 1 to 3 years? So you're somewhat new in the workplace. Okay, good. And so that's a lot. That's a lot of people. Good.
And we're hiring.
Okay.
No, we're hiring first.
This is why I asked. Okay, fabulous. And how many of you, 5 to 10 years, 3 to 5 years, excuse me, at work, you know, working? Anybody over 5 years? Is it over? Okay, so we've, All right, great. So we've got a pretty evenly divided group between newer workers and people who have had some significant experience. So we're going to have to figure that out as we go along. So let's start. Shama, let's start with you, okay? How can women professionals use social media? Now, you know, this is a big deal. You've got to be not only your brand in person, right, but you've got to be online. So how can women professionals use social to grow their brands in their particular industries?
Sure, so that's a great question, Ruth. So here's what I would urge all of you guys to start thinking about, right? So when we say social media, and when I say it, how many of you guys, just quick show of hands, think of like LinkedIn or Twitter or Facebook, or like that's what comes to mind? Okay, so totally fair definition. But for this session, and as you guys hear us speak and me speak, can you guys put that to the side for me real quick? All right, just to the side for now, because that's a good definition, but I think there's a much better definition as you think about in terms of personal branding, getting your message out there, whatever it may be. And that's the idea that people are now the media, okay? So when we say how do you use social media to brand yourself, even the way that Ruth's asking the question, it's not about how do you use LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter, because honestly, we could be here all month, all year, going over the tactical stuff. But it's really starting to think about the fact that people are the media, how information is shared, spread, and how you can use that to further your own expertise, to build your own thought leadership within your organization and outside within your greater industry. So regardless of whether you're an entrepreneur or you work within a company, the same principles apply, right? Whether you're trying to influence your internal team or your external, you're trying to build out more visibility for yourself in the organizational sense, really start thinking about social media, not just as those platforms, but this idea that people are now the media. And social media is sort of the ultimate amplifier. So what can you give them that's worth amplifying?
So what is one practical tip that you can give them on that exact topic? If they're the media, what is it that they can do, say, today or tomorrow?
Yeah. So one of my favorite things right now is LinkedIn, one of my favorite platforms. And so to your point earlier, Ruth, about video and how powerful that is, LinkedIn videos right now, hands down, one of the most powerful tools and tactics. And what's amazing is they have these filters now that LinkedIn video team is releasing. So you can talk about, here's what I'm working on today, right? So just little glimpses into your life. Even if you think, well, nobody really cares about that or whatnot, you're wrong. People do care, right? And it's not about appealing to everyone. It's appealing to that specific group that's really going to resonate with your message.
Great. I call that TDTW, by the way. Tear down the walls to your life, to your business.
Oh, okay.
That's what I personally think of it as. You know, let people in a little bit.
I think of chocolate cake, like the
It's even better.
It's just foodie.
Lisa, let's go to you now. Tell me about what you think is the importance of your network. You know, networking is, we're doing this today, right? We're doing this. And y'all got the rest of the day to really work on it, right? So what's the importance of the network in building your personal brand?
Absolutely. So the first thing I'll say is we all have a personal brand whether we like it or not, right? So the question is, are you going to cultivate it or are you going to let it happen to you? And we like to say that your net worth is your network, because you are the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with, right? You are the average of that. And so LinkedIn, I love LinkedIn, but when we talk about your network, it's not your 5,000 connections, it's what my teenage boys would say, who's your squad, right? And often we think about mentors. It's not about mentors. It's about actually sponsorship, right? So it's who's your mentor, who's your sponsor, who's your connector, and your point expert, and then what we say, your friend, where you can do the ugly cry. because we tend to be over-mentored and under-sponsored. And just by having a sponsor, right, so this is someone who talks about you, someone who amplifies your brand, particularly, as you said, if you are an introvert or an ambivert in a world that's built for an extrovert, you had better have a sponsor to amplify your brand. So it's about surrounding yourself with your own dream team that can help you open those doors.
And we're really talking about, what do they say about you when you leave the room? And are they helping you?
So we actually define it as personal brand is what do they say and think about you that make them want you in the room? Where they say, you know, gosh, I got to have Lisa on my team. And that's all about what do they know? Because one of the mistakes that we make is we, one, don't keep track of our accomplishments. I'll take a survey. 90% of us don't do it, ladies. So we suffer from LIFO, last in, first out. But then we make the fatal mistake of aligning ourselves with one person, normally our boss. And that is the riskiest thing you can do, because what if they lose their seat? What if they get fired or they moved on? Then you are stuck because there's no one to talk about your contributions. So that is why that squad is so important, people who amplify your brand.
Thank you. Thank you. Alex, ready? I know you are. All right. What do you think professionals can how can professionals use their creativity? You're very passionate, and you write very eloquently on using your creative self, your creativity. And you should go to Alex's blogs to read about this stuff, because it's very informative. And like I said, I'm old, but I still learn something. So how can professionals use their creativity to grow their personal brand? Talk about that.
Absolutely. So as you all know, the attention span is deteriorating because of social media. And a lot of these platforms are more invested in your addiction to them than the actual value you get out of them. And because of that, brands have no choice now but to be more creative on how to get attention. And instead of being louder and flashier, I'm a big advocate for coming up with content that resonates, because what's happening is we no longer are looking for information, we're feeling for it. We have sort of a similar consciousness of like watching TV when we scroll through our phones. It's sort of like we're there, but we're not there. And the only way you're going to actually get people to pay attention to what you have to say is if you are creative enough to come up with something that resonates. And when I say resonate, I mean literally a physiological experience. So either laughter, tears, chills, even if it's like screaming, oh my God, me too. You know, I feel like the internet meme is a great example of how when content resonates, it spreads and it gets talked about. So instead of positioning yourself on social media like, oh, how can I fit in with this feed, or how can I contribute to this feed, understand, like you were saying, on the other end is a human being who has human responses. And we're all really just looking for something that's going to trigger some sort of feeling. And those are the things we remember. Those are the URLs we remember. Those are the hashtags we participate in. And it switches the dynamic from you saying, hey, please pay attention to me, to your audience being like, I love this person. I love what they have to say. I love this brand. I'm going to follow them and, you know, feel good about it.
So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Shama, which is, what is one thing, one practical tip that you think that anybody in this room could do to make somebody feel something, which is what you're talking about, which I completely agree with?
Yeah, so I'm currently actually writing a book called Resonate, and I've broken down the way to get a message to resonate into four pillars. The first is to use some sort of honesty. We live in an honest, starved culture, and so just by saying the truth, people will be like, wow, that's the truth. I'm going to pay attention to that. And of course, there's a risk involved in being honest, but part of resonating with other human beings is taking a risk, which leads me to the second pillar, which is vulnerability. And again, these are concepts we all know and understand, but it takes a lot of emotional strength to be able to provide these things, because again, we're risking sort of how we're perceived. But that's what a brand is. A brand is not a logo, it's not colors, it's a feeling. It's the logo and the colors that create the feeling, but essentially the reason why we're so loyal to the people and the brands that we are is because they make us feel a certain way. So the third pillar is accuracy. A lot of us, there's a lot of what I call fluff on the internet. So like there's like, if I read another blog post that's like 10 minutes of meditation will cure this, It's like, yes, we get it. Meditation is good. But what else can be said? And with accuracy, it's like you get to say, and you get to trace right along the lines of what you're trying to say versus playing it safe and just tracing around what everyone else is saying. And then the fourth element is beauty. So we're moving more and more into a visual world. So creating graphics that are beautiful, creating any type of content that makes people stop and stare. And think about when we're scrolling through our feeds, again, we're feeling for the content. So when something makes you stop, it's usually because it's visually captivating. So those are like my four takeaway pillars to create resonating messages online.
Great. I can't wait for the book. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Sounds great. All right, Shama, back to you. What opportunities do women professionals typically miss while trying to grow their personal brand and their brand presence online?
So it's really funny. I think the biggest challenge with women, especially professionals and entrepreneurs, it's a mindset. It's not so much a tactical thing. And what I mean by that is, as we work, so Marketing Zen is, as an agency, we work with lots of companies, and the goal is often they want to be thought leaders, right, in their perceived industry. They want to be go-to, whether they're B2B or B2C. And often what we find is if they're helmed by men CEOs, they'll come in and they'll say, or the, you know, the leadership board will say, hey, how do we build our personal brands? Like, they see that as part and parcel of building, right, the overall positioning and visibility. Often, if it's women CEOs or more women leadership, they'll say, well, we don't want to toot our horn. Like, we want it to be about the company. We don't really want it to be about us. And I think that's fascinating because, to Alex's point, so much about this is honesty and authenticity, and that comes through people, right? Not necessarily companies. And so think about even the companies or the brands we trust. It's often because of the people behind them. And so part of that, Ruth, I think, is this idea of that, like, well, I don't want to really talk about my accomplishments, or I don't want people to think I'm bragging or whatever it is. And I think the important thing is to realize that when you share your story in a positive way, much less, I mean, yes, there's always that risk that someone's going to be like, oh, wow, look at them. They think they're all that or whatnot. But I think to the flip side of being honest, of being real, is that you might inspire people, right? Chances of that are so much higher. And so I think for women especially, it's a mindset to not see personal branding as like, I don't really like talking about myself, or that's not really me, to really owning that and saying, hey, if I'm going to get my message out there, my department ahead, my company, whatever it is, however you lead, it's really important, I think, to be able to take a look at that and have greater awareness.
So you're really talking about, you know, I've been watching this, how this all goes down for a really long time, you know, it's how women refuse to or shy away from tooting their own horn, so to speak, and the idea that you think people are going to notice the work that you do, nope. You got to find the right person to tell it to. You got to find how to say it, and you've got to be remember you're not going to please everybody. Not everybody's going to like you. That's really been hard for me. Maybe some other people here on the platform can share that. But you know, for me personally, it's been ridiculously hard. I want everybody to like me, but you know, some people are clearly not going to.
So can I give a practical tip, since
please,
I know you're really into
please,
this?
Please, yes.
I would say for every job that you do, right, every job, and I mean internal, like you're, let's say you're working in a department, HR, running a business, doesn't matter. Every job is really three parts. One is doing the job well, okay? The second is talking about how you did the job. So just creating transparency into what went into something, right? You put out a 20-page report. You don't talk about what went into the, how did you come up with that 20-page report? So showcasing, like remember in school where they'd be like, show your work on like math papers? It's kind of like that. Like we forget to show our work, like show what goes into it. And the third part, and I swear by this formula, guys, is share that success that leads you and gets you your next project. Every client that we get, we look at it in three parts. How can we knock it out of the park for them with their marketing, visibility, whatever they come to us for, right? How do we talk about what we're doing for them, right? Showcasing our magic, essentially. What are the steps that go into it? Not only to the client, but using it as a case study to then attract more business. And so think about every job you take on into those three areas, and I promise you'll have a much easier time sort of growing your personal brand internally and externally.
Yeah, the work does not speak for itself. Sorry. Yeah.
That's
assurance.
Unfortunately, sadly. Sure. Okay, Lisa. Yeah. All right. How can we? How can your online brand affect your job search? You know, and what recommendations do you have for women reentering the workforce or looking to make a professional change? So just.
Yeah, we'll take those and go with all of them. So
yeah, okay.
78% of people go to LinkedIn to see if they want to work for you or with you or if you are worthy of their investment / connection. And since we tend to undersell ourselves because we think that it's bragging or we think that people will just know, then you don't show up the way that you should, right? And whether and there's no consistency in that brand because how you are in person is how you should show up online. And I think what you said about vulnerability is so key because there's a social cost. It's easy for us to say be vulnerable. There's a social cost to being vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. And so we don't want anyone to know and we suffer in silence. So it's really important that you put that forward where you're trying to go. We tend to think about our job description, right? So if you look at the top of most LinkedIn profiles, it's backwards thinking. But I was a venture capitalist for over a decade. When women came in, it's like, okay, Lisa, just give me a little bit of money and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this and do this. And then the men would come in and say, okay, I haven't had a job before and I probably don't have any experience, but they are selling me the moon. And I want to invest in that. I don't want to invest in the incremental, right? So when you tell your story, it has to be forward thinking. Same thing for re-entering. But I would be remiss if I would say, because online is really important, but I think where we get lost is in the in-person, right? If you look and you see people who are less experienced, less skilled, and they're here and you're here, that is a personal brand or sponsorship gap. And it's just as simple as things like, how do you dress, right? We tell people, dress like a badass. Whatever your uniform is, whether it's jeans or a suit, you better be put together. If you're well endowed, you better not be fidgeting, right? Because everything that when you walk in there, it's on what you're saying. When you speak, are you using credibility, killing phrases like, I think, or I know, or I may be new? All those things that you say that before you get it out, you've gone from here to here. Right? Or do you have gravitas, right? When you're speaking, are people rustling papers or do they stop and pay attention, right? Are you sitting in the mix or are you sitting on the side? And do you have intellectual horsepower? So when you think about your brand and the consistency, it's what you do in person and how it translates online. And don't let anybody tell you that it doesn't matter because it does account for 30 to 40% of your success.
It totally does. You know, we tend to think of these things as soft skills. They're not soft. They're not. They're hard. They're hard to get. They're hard to keep. They're hard to put out there. They're hard to attain. They're hard skills. They're essential professional skills.
And what's even worse, ladies, we tell people that don't cultivate praise, cultivate criticism, because those soft skills are the ones that you will never get the feedback on. And so I had a tech CEO tell me that here's a woman, she was an executive vice president, and she wasn't going any further. Not because she didn't have the technical chops, but because of the way she showed up in a meeting. But nobody told her, because there's a risk to talking about these soft things. So how in the world can you course correct if you don't know? So you better get your feedback squad in place where they're going to give you that honest feedback so that you can correct.
Right. That's why they hire me, to come in and be that, give that feedback. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So... very important. I was talking to a male colleague of mine recently on exactly this. He's a billionaire investor, and he told me that if it's a choice between somebody with a good business plan and somebody with an okay business plan who comes in to pitch him on something, if that person with the okay business plan has that presence, that gravitas, he is going to go with her. Big champion of women, too, by the way. So,
right. And it's a learned. As you said,
it's
right?
Learned.
The only person I know on this planet that was born with it is my husband. He's a deputy commissioner of the NBA. But for us mere mortals, it is a learned skill.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Practice plus experience equals spontaneity. Mm. Yep. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Lisa. That was good. Alex, all right. So we talked about introversion. You characterize yourself as an introvert, too. Either of the two of you or no?
I'm an ambivert.
Ambivert. Mm-hmm. See, that's a new word for me. Mm-hmm. That's like a Scrabble word.
It's
I like
50,
that.
50-50 word.
Yeah. I like it.
Well, you can turn it
I figured
on.
It yeah. up. I figured it. It's, go
so,
ahead.
It's like a 50-50, right? Where, go ahead, do you want to?
Yeah, and it's situational, right? So you can go in and do what you need to do and project, and then you need to, like, step back. It's like, okay, it's just too much. But you have to be able to be comfortable with both.
Yeah, it means after you speak on a panel, you go hide in a corner or in your room because you don't want to talk to anyone.
Breathe. You breathe, right. You have to decompress. Totally get
adaptable.
That.
Adaptable. Yeah.
Okay, I like that word. So anyway, you characterize yourself as an introvert, and but you've been able to build a pretty impressive brand anyway. How?
Well, again, a personal brand, again, a brand is a feeling. So a personal brand is just how you make people feel. And like you said, you're building it whether you like it or not. And I think that I was very careful to title myself as an introvert because I feel like it's such a cop-out term. And I didn't like that at first. But once I read more about what an introvert actually is, it's not that we don't like people. And it's not like we don't, it's not that we don't like talking. We just don't like talking about small things or small talk. It took me a while to realize that, I actually do like socializing. I like going out. It just has to be at the right event and with the right people. So,
thanks, Alex.
For myself, yes. And as far as how did I still build a brand? Well, I started off using the internet when I was 2 years old. My dad has been in tech for a long time. And so as I grew up as an only child, and so the computer was sort of my sibling, and I used it to communicate. It's the introvert's best friend because I don't have to leave my room. And I think I was able to connect with people through that virtual world, and through that, you know, I still was able to create a feeling and that people resonated with, and that's what's built over the years. So I think it was just using that virtual, and I am now learning to network in person. It's a completely different experience. And I feel like it's a very millennial, it's going to be a big thing, obstacle that many millennials will have to overcome, because so many of our social courtesies and the way that we communicate have been online. So it's like, now we have to learn, like, real life.
Well, and your point about networking, sometimes we think networking is like boil the ocean, and it's not.
Right.
Because when you're going out to meet people, you're looking for a mentor. It's like, you know, will you be my mentor? Yes. Nobody wants that laid at their feet, and no one wants that stupid call of, can I come talk to you about your journey, your experience? Like, nobody wants that. So you have to think, like, small, right? You have to have, like, the right ask of the right person or ask for the interview. And that way, if it's very small, then someone's more likely to, one, take the meeting, and then two, it will be of value. And whether your style is introvert or extrovert, it is, you have been thoughtful enough so that you're going to come to me with something that I can address, and then you start to reciprocate, as opposed to I got to go and I got to meet everybody. It's like, no, when you go to a conference like this, pick three people, right? And that's who you're going to go and make that connection with. Start small.
Well, and I also just heard this great insight that was like, and when we think of networking up. So networking to people that are higher or, you know, are higher position than us. But so much of really valuable networking is networking horizontally. So finding people who are just as ambitious and hungry as you are. And because, you know, give these people 3 or 4 years and they're going to be higher up and you'll be higher up with them. So and it's a truth that stands in its own, because even as I didn't realize I was networking when I was networking. But so many of the entrepreneurs who I knew a few years ago are now like on a whole different level. And it's because we met when we were at that horizontal level, I guess.
Yeah. I think of being an introvert as, I like people. I really, really like people. And I'm a shy introvert, which is like a double whammy, right? Double whammy. But I think of that we don't get energy. Introverts don't get our energy. Or we get sapped more easily, right, from being at big events like this. So you need to respect that about yourself and do what you have to.
Absolutely.
To take a break. And I will tell you, my Oscar-winning clients, I have 5 Oscar-winning clients, and they, you know, they need to go and lock themselves in a bathroom stall to just sort of breathe before that they go out on, go out onto the stage at the TV show. So you're not alone. I think 48% of the population identifies as introverted. It's common, but it's not valued, sadly. So you've got to value it yourself.
Can I just add something to sort of make that practical, right?
Yeah.
Is you have to find what works for you. and what you're comfortable with. So if you're never gonna do live video and that just, you hate the thought of it, don't do it, guys. Just don't do it. Like, find the stuff that really resonates with your personality, feels good. That's why there's people who love Twitter, right? The 140 characters, they can be witty in that, they love it. There's people who love Instagram or Pinterest. It's just, it's so, you really do have to find what works well for your personality. Like, you know, podcasting is one thing that I'll do. Like, I do two interviews a week generally, but I don't love it. Like, it's funny because I don't feel like I have the best voice, right? Something that, like, I continue to work on. And so for me, being on camera is a lot easier, writing is a lot easier, but podcasting's a little different. It's a little harder for me. It's a learned skill. So I gravitate naturally towards the things that I'm like, this I got, right? This I feel more comfortable with, this I can do. So as you hear all of this, you know, be your own filter. Like, look at what do you feel comfortable with? What works for Alex and Lisa and me may not work for you, and that's totally okay. So we think that's important too. Like, don't put a lot of pressure on yourself to say like, oh, I've got to build my brand just the way they did it, because your way is going to work, and it's going to work for you because you know you best.
I agree with you on that. Where I think, though, we have to be a little more, I don't know, open-minded is that some people won't have the choice of whether they have to be on video or not, right?
Oh,
they'll
sure.
have to do an interview. So it can't hurt you to start practicing and figure it out, all right? Because it's just the way of the world. And, you know, if you're already working, you know that so many of your meetings are done by video conference. I do a lot of meetings by video conference. So anyway, just a thought on that. But I totally agree. You've got to capitalize, I think, mm-hmm. on the things that you feel good about and you're good at. You got the things that you've got. Great. Okay. So let's see here. Alex, we stopped with you. That was a question with you, correct? That we went off. Okay, great. All right, back to Shama. Shama, you're back on again.
Okay.
All right. What are the essential elements of a personal brand for professionals inside an organization?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, you know, whether you're inside or outside, I think that the principles are very similar, right? Because the whole point of it is, the whole point of cultivating a personal brand, or a big part of it, is influence. Whether you're influencing higher up across the board or inspiring your team, I think it's very much the same. I would say the key part to building a personal brand is to provide value. And that's really the bottom line. It's how do you provide value to your internal stakeholders? How do you provide value to people who are external? And here's the thing, when I say value, people often think, oh, that means I have to go and create a bunch of content now. And that's not what I mean at all. It's a mix. You can create content, but you can also curate content. And I don't think people think about that enough. If you were just getting started, and I'll tell you guys a true story. So,
yeah, curate. Because it's a very widely used
word
that
a
lot of people don't understand.
So it means to share something that's from the outside, right? So creating would be like, I write a blog post. Curating would be me sharing, hey, Alex wrote this great piece on creativity, and I'm going to share that. So that's me curating that content. And so when I started my company, I was 23, guys. I started it with $1,500. And so, like, zero business contacts, right? No networking. I didn't have Lisa to tell me that. Like, just nothing. And so it's funny because how I got my first clients was, remember, I'm 23. I'm like, I don't know anybody. I'm passionate about this. I think social media is going to change the world in a time where people are still calling it Twitter. And so very early days. So, but one of the things that I did was I would go to conferences like this. I would read marketing books, and the one thing that I was really good at when I got out of school was, like, I kicked ass at taking notes, right? Like, note taking, I got. So I took really good notes when I went to conferences, and then I would ask people, like, hey, does anybody want the notes for this? And I would get their business card and email them my notes. Right, so that was how I landed some of my first clients. It wasn't because I had all these fabulous ideas. It was like, I can take what's already being said and make it accessible for a different audience, right? And people were like, this is great. Like, this is, you know, so you have to look at your strengths. And I think even internally, you have to find ways to provide value.
Anybody have anything to add to that? Lisa, you
I will like- just say, it's interesting the way you say take notes. Do it the way she said, not the way we typically do it, which is in a meeting at work, you had better not be the one taking the notes, right? Because typically they give us the housekeeping projects, or we're going off and we're working on those things that are not aligned with the business. So then when it comes time to say, what did you do? What's the value? What's your social currency? And you're not keeping track of your accomplishments, and you look around, you have nothing to talk about. Right. So you, part of the value of keeping track of your accomplishments is to keep a check on yourself that you're not doing those things, and you're not that, oh, you have great handwriting. Can you take the notes while we're over here working on these things that matter? Right. Be yeah. really, really careful of that. Yeah. But if it is you are taking, you're serving it up with some brand, that's a different story, but very dangerous.
Thank you. Don't take notes. Don't get the coffee. Don't, what else, you know, clean up afterward. No.
And minimize those team, you know, be a team player, right? And so a lot of people say, well, how do I refuse that when I'm asked, right? We all have to do things we don't want to do. But again, you have to always check what is the most important thing to the business and how am I lining up with that? And if I'm having a problem with that, then who is my sponsor who's going to put social currency out for me to make sure I am working on the right things?
Thank you. All right. So, Lisa, we're staying with you on this. What are some of the key mistakes women make when building their personal brand? And they don't even know it. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So some of the things we covered, right? So using those buzz-killing words. How do you show up in terms of your gravitas or the way you speak or the way you dress? But it's also, we don't take risk. Right? We don't raise our hand. And if you think about, you know, there's kind of that safety circle, then there's like the next level out where the magic happens. You don't want to be in the outer where there's freaking terror and you don't know what you're doing. But the ability to raise your hand and to make the ask, because someone needs to see a hustle factor in you to determine that, one, that's someone who I can rely on to get done, and two, that's someone I want to invest in. So if you're really, really comfortable and you're coasting, you're going to stay here. Right? You're going to stay there and no one's going to know your brand, right? Because if your presence isn't known, your absence isn't going to make one bit of difference. So you had better start raising your hand for visibility.
Thank you. And Alex, let's move on here. What's the difference? Now, staying with that for just a minute, that in-person brand, and we've been talking a good deal about the online brand. What's the difference between the two of them?
In person and online?
Yeah.
Well, when I was first starting working on online brands, so much of what I was doing was trying to get other people's attention online, which I found was super, it was way more difficult than just meeting the people in real life. And so some brands that I thought were really unapproachable, maybe they had tons of followers or, you know, tons of popularity, I was like, wow, if I meet them in person, then, you know, we exchange information and it happens right there. So that's been a great, like, little tweak and hack that I've used. And it also gets my attention, too. Like, people who come to meet me in person, I'm way more likely to want to follow them or learn more about what they're doing because, you know, I see their face and we have a connection.
Yeah, and I don't know about any of you. I mean, I take your point, but I would much rather be up here in front of, you know, 200 of my newest friends and colleagues right. than meeting each one of you one by one by one or reaching, you know, over the course of weeks and months and maybe even years. It's a really efficient use of time.
Yeah, and like I was saying, our attention spans, I mean, they're... So if you can have people's attention, you know, physically in real life, then the chances of... You know, if you're an author or if you do any type of sales on like a stage or if that's how you, you know, run your business, you're way more likely of getting that done with, you know, seeing them in person, I found. And I also didn't realize that while I was learning how to do digital marketing, I was like, this is the hardest part of marketing. Like the easiest part of marketing is like, oh yeah, we're in person. Like this is 10 times easier. And so, but that's been great because it's been a valuable market asset to understand how to get people's attention through the chaos of the internet.
Absolutely.
But part of that, in terms of this in person, I think where people miss the ball is in the care and feeding and the cultivation, right? You have to meet these people. You have to continue frequency of touch, right, and follow up. I give an example of someone came to me and said, yeah, I'm raising money for my business. Can you help? I give them five people that they can call. Never heard from her again. So you can imagine if she ever reached out to me what she's going to get. But what she should have done is said, okay, Lisa, I reached out to all five. Three contacted me or responded and two didn't. And then I would have said, wow, she came back to me. Now I'm pissed because the other two didn't respond to her. So I'm going to open up the door some more.
Right.
And then she would have had a chance to cultivate a relationship with me. So you have to, that's why it's not 5,000 people, it's your squad. Because you want to keep that care and feeding because you don't want to just make that call when something's going wrong.
And I want to just say two things about this whole, you know, way of building it online versus in person. I'm the big in person person. So the fortune is in the follow-up. And that's number one. And face-to-face is king. It's king. I don't care what you think about it. There's no substitute for looking into somebody's eyes directly and reading their facial expressions, which is unconscious. We are humans. We are acculturated to do this. So it's evolutionary. Right. So it's good that you're all here preaching to the choir in a way.
It's funny because I think the least sexy word in marketing and branding is consistency, but it's the most important. Like, nobody likes the idea of consistency, I feel like, in the digital age, right? It's like the cousin of prudence. It's like, consistency. But it's so important. It's that follow-up, right? It's the, hey, I meet someone at a conference. They're like, take a selfie. Then they tag me on Instagram. And then, like, true story. So this girl I met, quick story, just because it's like, it's practical. We take a picture together. She tags me on Instagram. 2 weeks later, I see another comment pop up because she's like, hey, you should check out Shama's book, right, to someone else. She's been consistent. And so now she's on my radar and we're building a relationship. So I think that's just a big key part of it, is to be consistent.
And right. She's not greedy. She gave you something.
No,
as well,
she's
right?
constantly right. giving. Right.
Mm-hmm. Seek first to give before you receive.
So true.
And message discipline, which is what you're talking mm-hmm. about. Okay, we are going, we would love to hear your questions. So if you've got them, please line up at the mic. Oh, wonderful. This is good. All right. So I would love for you to start, but tell us your name and who you want to direct the question to, and go on.
Hello, my name is Catherine, and whoever can answer this. And just to be a little background, I'm currently a paralegal, certified mediator, got master's, all that stuff. But I realized in working in the legal field and working in government that there's a glass ceiling. So either you're going to be an attorney or that's it. And so I'm realizing that government is pretty much not for me. So I'm trying to... I need some help and some resources to help me articulate my skills to be able to rebrand myself and transition to another career. What are some resources that I can use?
Landit.com, because that's exactly what we do, right? Because it's like you're at an inflection point. You're like, okay, I don't want to do that, but I don't even know what's possible. And sometimes we let kind of our own bias say, well, I did this, that's all I can do. No, you have these transferable skills, you have interests and motivators, so we show you based on that what is, quote, the world open to you, so that we can get past what all of us have, whether you want to admit it or not, imposter syndrome, right? Landit.com. Email me hello@landit. I will get you what you need.
Great. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Over to this side.
Hi.
Is it on? I don't know.
But hey, guys, while we figure out the mic situation, I know there's probably going to be more questions than we can take. I'll just speak for myself, and I won't drag my panelists into it. But if you want to find me on LinkedIn and shoot me your question, like if you don't get to it, please do. I promise I will answer every single one. So... Just want to share that.
Thank you. And we'll be in the bookstore.
Yeah,
right?
Selfies
so
and
we'll
book signings and whatever you guys
all
want
right.
to talk
yep.
about.
Yes, yeah, sorry.
I've been working on building up my network while I'm doing a career search, and I've had a few times where I've made connections, but I haven't followed up because I was scared and I didn't know what to say next. Is there any way to recover to your point when you've messed up?
Yes, because a lot of people say, oh God, I can't call because it's so much time. Yeah. And what's the worst that can happen? They don't answer, they hang up, etc. So part of what you said is exactly what we do, which is people don't even know what to ask. And so we say, if someone's a mentor, these are things you ask. But you absolutely should circle back. Okay. Do not ask for lunch or dinner because it's just too heavy.
Do you apologize?
15 minutes. Heck no.
Okay.
Heck no. So great to meet you. I would love to connect with you on X, right? Not tell me your life, on X and Y. How does such and such date work for you?
Or also what I do
yeah.
too is I'll...
Don't apologize. Don't freaking apologize. Okay?
I was going to say also, like, if you find an article or something relevant to that person's work, just saying, hey, I saw this and I thought about you. How are you doing? You know, X, Y, and Z. So it's a little bit more natural feeling.
So slightly, it's like, just to play devil's advocate a little bit. Mm-hmm. If I would say if someone reached out to me and then fell off the radar, like they, mm-hmm. they came, I provided something, I would come back and apologize, right? So if I reached out to someone, they helped me out, and I disappeared for 6 months, if I'm going back, yeah, I think just from my mm-hmm. perspective, I'd say, hey, look, I'm so sorry. I know we were supposed to, like, I've done a bad job keeping
but
in touch.
That's a different situation.
Yeah, it's
so
different.
I would say, but so you're talking about, like, you were going to keep in touch and didn't end up keeping
well,
in touch.
Well, she went for somebody who I said, hey, can you help me? You're in this company. And they said, yeah, sure, call me. And
okay.
I never did.
And you never did. So at that point, it makes total sense to go back and say, mea culpa, right? Okay. And, like, but you're totally right. Like, I wouldn't ask for anything. Now it's a matter of giving. So whether it's, I read this blog post, I thought of this, I wanted to share it with you, take something of value. And a good way to do that is, like, you know their industry, find something that's trending. You know, I read this, thought you might enjoy it. Lots of stuff crosses my desk like that. I always appreciate it.
Okay. And just
thank
know,
you.
No one is sitting
we
around
have to
waiting
move on.
For you.
Sorry.
So. You can do it.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. That's a good Next, point. Your name.
Hi, my name's Robin. I'm a trainer, so I'm up in front of people a lot and doing
Tilt the mic
speaking,
up to your mouth.
And I should know how to use a microphone. And so thank you all for everything that you've told us today. It's very helpful. I have a question about rebranding within your workplace. So for me, I'm kind of boisterous and loud, and that can be perceived as unprofessional by some upper-level male management. They may not take me very seriously. So
That's
how
right.
can somebody rebrand themselves while staying authentic? And then I think for some people in the room, maybe on the flip side, if they are kind of shyer and more quiet and they want to be seen as someone who has a valuable opinion, like how can they use those tips to rebrand themselves in that way?
So if I may just address that initially. First of all, authenticity is misunderstood, and I frankly think it's overrated. All right? And this is why. This is why. We are different. We have many different selves. We are different in a situation like here at this event than we are with our friends and family, than we are with our kids, than we are with our dogs or our animals, right? We talk differently, and we communicate, and we behave in a different way. So get the idea of you have to be authentic out of your mind. Instead, think that, what is my best self in this particular situation? How do I maintain my core values and ethics and still, in this particular communication environment, how do I come across? The other thing I was thinking is that if they don't like you because you're loud and boisterous, and I don't see that. I'm not feeling it from you.
Kim does. She
all right.
Me.
Okay. Well, all right. Maybe it's true. Then maybe you need to find another job with other bosses.
So I would say two things. One, again, email me, hello@landit.com. We actually have a thing on how do you rebrand yourself.
Okay.
But I would think of it in terms of concentric circles, right? What is valued, right? What are those no more than three, right? What's valued? What are you good at? What is the intersection? And every freaking thing you do have better line up behind those adjectives, right? But email me.
I will. Thank you. Uh-huh.
You're welcome. Let's go over to this side now.
Hi, my name is Moore. Thank you very much, ladies, for all the great tips. And
great.
A question for Lisa. I tend to become pretty passionate about stuff, and I speak in definitive terms. And sometimes I do pepper that with I'm not sure, I don't know, because I wanna, you know, be not viewed as someone that's pushing too hard. And now you said that we shouldn't say I don't know. So what do we say instead?
Mm-hmm. So. What I tell everyone, including my kids, is we say practice to your locker, right? So know the three things you want to say, right? Or maybe it's two, no more than three. And then you want to practice and you want to go and you get it right to the point. And if you practice, then one, you get rid of those credibility phrases, but you come across as very precise. Because if you add all those things, you've already lost before they even hear what you're going to say. So just practice. I want to go in and talk to you about so-and-so. And it's because blah, blah, blah. Like, just... I'm an engineer, but it's very that bullet point-y. But I actually, shucks, see me outside. And I will email you those points.
And I want to add one thing. Those are called hedges, and they're well-studied, and we do them a lot. But think about it for a minute. If you say to somebody, I don't know if you're going to like this, but they're gone. Right? You're giving them permission to walk away and not like it. Or, I don't know if this is important, but...
I think.
You know, it's like, I got better things to do. I'm going to go find somebody who has something important to say. So if you think about it that way, it's like, It is important what I say. Think about it that way, too. And see Lisa later. Yeah. We're going to go back to this side.
Hi. I'm Katie. I have a question for Alex. I am building a brand from scratch as of 2 weeks ago, trying to launch a business, mainly online. I'm a millennial. Set up Instagram, set up Facebook, reaching out to Instagram influencers to help me promote this. Am I doing it right? And how do you even start? I mean, I'm just kind of doing what I see happen, trying to get giveaways set up, that kind of thing. But is that even the right approach anymore?
And yeah. We have 1 minute left. I'm
okay. I don't know yet because I haven't seen any of it. But I will say that so much of building a brand on social media is about you getting the people to talk. So someone asked me, how did you create the Boss Babe movement? And I said, I didn't create it. Everyone else did. And so it's really about equipping your audience to feel empowered enough that they can use whatever you're sharing to decorate themselves. So the reason why my quotes went viral is because people were like, I feel like I could say that quote. And so it got reposted over and over again. So just know that when you're online and you're creating this brand, what you're doing is you're equipping other people and helping them affirm an identity for themselves, and that's how things travel through the internet, because people want to be proud to say I'm vegan or I wear my hair curly, or that's why those microcultures are forming more and more.
I am really sorry, we have to stop, unfortunately. So if you have questions, meet us, it will be here, and Shama and I are in the bookstore, so we'll see you soon. Thank you very much for coming.
You are amazing.
Thank you.